big man, I think.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. It is Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. Thanks for joining me today. So Alexei Navalny, everybody thought he was going to be killed. He's the Russian opposition leader that died in prison. And he was supposed to be poisoned by Vladimir Putin, but apparently that's not how he died. I guess his family is talking about that he was given a one punch to the heart. Also in the news today, it's been 30 years since food prices ate up this much of your income. James Biden plans to testify behind closed doors in the impeachment probe for his brother, Joe Biden. Donors keep pouring millions into Nikki Haley's long shot campaign. And the Biden administration attempts to cancel another $1.2 billion of student debt. One of the big headlines today is Elon Musk is nominated for the Nobel Prize. That doesn't mean he's going to get it. That just means that it's very likely that he's going to be nominated. And I guess some people will vote for him. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, let's get into the news. All right, so as I said, in the New York Post is reporting Navalny likely killed by one punch to the heart in classic KGB tactic, activists claim. Now, I don't know. I don't think Putin or the state killed him. I think it was somebody else, because I think the West is benefiting benefiting the most from his death. It's a propaganda coup, really. So Perry and I discussed this last night. You should check out episode 70. I think it's episode 70 of Tuesdays with Perry that we aired last night. We discussed this at great length. So I'm going to move on to other headlines. Excuse me. Mediaite is reporting ex-FBI informant says Biden bribery claims were passed on by officials associated with the Russian intelligence agency. The deal with this is they're just trying to change the nature of the whistleblower or the FBI informant who was credible and that said, actually confirmed that Biden was being bribed for bribed by Burisma to get the prosecutor that was supposed to be investigating corruption from investigating the corruption of Burisma. And they're trying to say now they're turning it on his head and saying Viktor Shokin, who was the prosecutor, wasn't investigating corruption as he was supposed to. And now they're saying that he wasn't even investigating Burisma. There wasn't necessarily a formal investigation, but he started snooping around Burisma, and the Bidens were involved in corruption with Burisma, and so they didn't want that found out, so he wouldn't get off the scent there, and so he had him fired. Actually, Biden even bragged that he withheld United States funding from Ukraine if the prosecutor wasn't fired. So they try to lead you to believe the exact opposite is that they needed that the United States wanted Viktor Shokin to investigate corruption, which he wasn't. And the fact that he was investigating corruption, but it was the wrong type of corruption. It was corruption involving the Bidens. So moving on with other headlines. with this Mediaite story. There's a couple things about this story, which is, of course, is Mediaite. Smirnoff said that, and this is the FBI asset who was vetted. Smirnoff said the money was payment for Biden getting Ukraine's government to fire a prosecutor named Viktor Shokin, who, as the story goes, now this is a story, it's not the truth, so they say, was investigating the company for corruption. However, as it has been widely reported, Shokin was fired for not probing corruption and had no active investigation into Burisma at the time of his firing. So he wasn't investigating corruption in Burisma. Was that it? So he wasn't probing corruption and he didn't have an active investigation. And this is, again, wordplay. What's the difference between a probe and investigation? So he was probing Burisma, but he wasn't investigating. Was that it? It's hard to say. And then Mediaite goes on to say that Smirnoff, spelled like the alcohol, was arrested by the FBI. So they didn't even copyright this story. Copy edit this story. Moving on to other news in the headlines here from NBC News. President's brother, James Biden, to testify behind closed doors in impeachment probe. James Biden is set to testify before a Republican-led House committee a week before Hunter Biden is also set to appear for the transcribed interview. Now, they don't talk about what the problem here is. And the problem here is, of course, is that it's Biden crime families, that they were selling, they were peddling influence, they were receiving money for no services. That indeed was the problem. So I don't know why they keep saying that there's no smoke here, there's no fire, when the Biden family was receiving money from foreign entities, including Burisma. And the reason Hunter Biden was being paid as a board member for Burisma at a no-show, he actually didn't go to the board meetings, but he was paid millions of dollars, which is what is alleged, was, and Joe Biden was getting kickback from that money, was so there would be assurance that there wouldn't be probes or investigation into Burisma. It's pretty cut and clear to me. So moving on to other headlines. The Wall Street Journal, donors keep pouring millions into Nikki Haley's long shot campaign. Biden-Trump campaigns end January with more cash on hand. So Biden and Trump are still getting more donations because they're likely going to be in the contest in November. But Nikki Haley's still getting millions for what? And who exactly are the donors? Is it Raytheon? Is it Boeing? Or is it Never Trumpers? Is it the Lincoln Project? We don't really know. So obviously she is the relief pitcher if Biden, excuse me, if Trump, anything happens to Trump. Also from NBC News, Dominion wins access to Newsmax journalists' text in its defamation case. The ruling is a blow to the conservative news organization, which has said filings that it had avoided such a mandate in a similar case. The problem here is they're using Dominion to go after conservative media, to ruin conservative media. They could really put Newsmax out of business. They tried it with, there were other online conservative news outlets that were almost put out of business. I forget what the other, I think it was OAN that was knocked off a cable because of what Dominion did. So now they're going after Newsmax. In their story, NBC writes, Dominion Voting Systems is entitled to review personal communications and text messages of Newsmax media journalists in its defamation suit against the conservative media company. The ruling is a blow to Newsmax, which successfully avoided such a mandate in similar case and sought to allow its employees to voluntarily offer up any relevant communications. In a similar case, so Newsmax is suing again. Excuse me, Newsmax is getting sued again by Dominion. Dominion sued Newsmax for $1.6 billion in 2021, claiming that the conservative news network defamed its company and falsely claimed it rigged the 2020 election. The case is one of more than 10 suits brought by voting machine companies against media companies and individuals who made stolen election claims. Claims. Indeed. Well, who's to say that, you know, the election was stolen? I never said that there was any funny business going in with election machines. But if you know anything about election voting machines, electronic voting machines, is there are back doors to allow for fraud. Now, also with mail-in balloting, it's the same case. It's like they're trying to say that there is no possibility of fraud in these systems, when the actuality is there is quite a bit of exposure to fraud in mail-in balloting and in electronic voting machines. But they keep suing to make people believe that there is no way that fraud could be committed in electronic voting, and that's just not the case. Now, whether people can prove it or not is another thing entirely. New York Post: Biden administration to cancel another $1.2 billion of student loans. He tried this before. This is outside of law. Executive action cannot do anything financial. You can't allocate resources for X, Y, or Z if you're the president of the United States. As many people might have heard, is that the Congress controls the purse strings. So the executive branch cannot do this, although he's trying to do it with executive order. I fucked this up. Next article up here, The Guardian: how Oregon turned on its own and trailblazing drug law, not the utopia we were promised. So they had this law that was Measure 110 that they voted for in Oregon, which would legalize possession and use of hard drugs. The vote was celebrated as a groundbreaking step toward a compassionate approach to substance use disorder, really substance abuse. One that prioritized treatment over punishment, but nearly 3 years after its passage, the law became... The law has become the subject of fierce debate as Oregon, like many other states, grapples with the spiraling opioid crisis. In recent months, residents, businesses, owners, and law enforcement agents in Oregon have all pointed to a spiraling drug use in downtowns where people openly smoke fentanyl while others lie unconscious in doorways, in small towns where mayors unaccustomed to homelessness are suddenly grappling with encampments, in terrifying newspaper stories about middle-class families grieving teenagers who lost their lives to one bad pill. Indeed, this is the problem. But, you know, I'm for legalized drug use, right? But you it's got to be, like with anything, it's got to be a measured response. And you have to meet somewhere in the middle. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't tear everything down and think that's going to work. You have to put in place substance abuse counseling, substance abuse. You know, people dealing with substance abuse have to, you know, have a place to go. And if many people don't want to get off drugs, and then people flock to areas where the state will supply money and drugs for you, for them, it's a utopia. But for anybody else who wants to live a normal life, it's not a utopia. So it's got to be measured with law enforcement. You can't have vagrants laying all over the place, in business districts, near schools and neighborhoods, whatever. And obviously fentanyl is a problem. But that's the new opium wars, the 21st century opium wars that China is waging on the United States. Reuters is reporting AI godfather, others urge more deepfake regulation in open letter. The genie's out of the bottle. I don't know what regulation is really going to do. AI is out there and now we're going to have problems. It's the cat is out of the bag, so to speak. From this story, is this from the same story? I don't know. Ensuring AI systems do not harm society and has been a priority for regulators since Microsoft-backed OpenAI unveiled ChatGPT in 2022, which wowed users by engaging them in human-like conversation and performing other tasks. There have been multiple warnings from prominent individuals about AI risks, notably a letter signed by Elon Musk last year that called for a six-month pause in developing systems more powerful than OpenAI's GPT-4 AI models, which are even worse. And then UK Metro ChatGPT has officially gone off the rails, spouting Latin and making up words. Other users found ChatGPT was beginning to mix up languages. Really? That's interesting. Is that mixing up languages? Apparently using Spanish or slipping into a bit of Latin. Confounding of tongues, I guess it is. In response, it wrote, "Let me encyclopedize me see there's more wonderenda to articulations hungry for," followed by a smiley face emoji. An initial statement from OpenAI read, "We are investigating reports of unexpected responses from ChatGPT," and shortly after it said the issue has been identified, the latest update said the team was continuing to monitor the situation. It seems, however, that the chatbot has been reined back in with no recent reports of rogue responses on social media. When asked, "You okay, hun? As an AI, I don't have feelings or emotions like humans do, but thank you for asking. How can I assist you today?" What do you expect? What do you expect from OpenAI or AI in general? What's going to happen is it's going to have a mind of its own, and like The Exorcist, is going to start spewing Latin or confounding of tongues. It's really demonic. And you have the problem with the input for OpenAI has a lot to do with the liberals and the progressives putting in their narrative of how things should be, including DEI and other racist, how could you say, racist algorithm and other. It's really society and cultural warfare writ large through AI. Now they want to put AI in charge. In more tech news, AP, a pacemaker for the brain, helped a woman with crippling depression. It may soon be available to more. Reading from this story now, having electrodes implanted in her brain as part of an experimental therapy. So it's not a pacemaker for the brain necessarily as electrodes implanted in her brain. Researchers say the treatment called deep brain stimulation or DBS could eventually help many of the 3 million Americans like her with depression that resist other treatments. It's approved for a condition such as Parkinson's disease and epilepsy, and many doctors and patients hope it will become more widely available for depression soon. The problem with this is, first of all, antidepressive drugs, pharmaceuticals, could make you have suicidal or homicidal ideation. Would this do the same? Again, we are going into a brave new world where the unforeseen circumstance of outcomes are not looked at and considered closely enough. That's just how it is. They just try these things. And it's one thing if you have epilepsy and Parkinson's, good for you, because these are debilitating, degenerative nervous system diseases that you can't come back from. So if there is some help in those, as in right to try, if you're faced with terminal disease or degenerative disease, good for you. But depression isn't like that. People can snap out of depression. A lot of studies showed it has something to do with gut flora. So it has a lot to do with diet and whatnot. I would advise people not to get on pharmaceuticals. It could make it worse or make you want to commit suicide. So here's the big story. It has been 30 years since food ate up much of this much of your income. Ongoing high costs lead food manufacturers and restaurants to keep prices elevated. Sorry about that. Going on to the story here. Eating continues to cost more, even as overall inflation has eased from the blistering pace consumers endured throughout much of 2022 and 2023. Prices at restaurants and other eateries were up 5.1% last month compared with January 2023, with grocery costs increased 1.2% during the same period. Relief isn't likely to arrive soon. Restaurants and food company executives say they're still grappling with rising labor costs and some ingredients such as cocoa that are getting more expensive. Consumers, they said, will have to find new ways to cope. And if you look historically after periods of inflation, there's really no period where you could point to where food prices come back down. And that's the reality. Food prices don't come back down. Why don't they come back down? Because I'll tell you why. Is because what inflation does is it lowers the buying power of the dollar. It deflates the currency. It deflates the value of the currency. So no one's going to take money out of circulation to make your dollar worth more. That never happens. So of course, when inflation happens, it's permanent. So, of course, you have rising labor costs. It's not because the workers are demanding more money. It's just because their dollar goes less far. And so all costs go up. That's why food costs go up, because the suppliers of the food charge the restaurants and grocery stores more, so they have to raise costs. Or, as Biden pointed out, they have to resort to what's called shrinkflation, which means they just give you less for the same price. New York Post, family of Kansas City shooting suspect set up GoFundMe to help him through tragic time. Now, this guy, I don't think I'm going to go into the story here, but this guy, one of the guys, Mays, I think it was, who was shown on a ventilator right after he got shot in the face, he's fine now because his booking photo shows him fine, just with a bandage on his face. His family set up a GoFundMe page. They only got $100 to help with medical costs. But the guy is already out of the hospital. And why wasn't he identified before? They just said they had juveniles and they didn't want to reveal the identity of the adults that really took, the juveniles also took part in the shooting. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. Why the adults weren't identified? They said they didn't release names in Kansas City because they were juveniles. But now we know there were two adults involved. When were they apprehended? The guy obviously was in the hospital. The GoFundMe picture shows him on a ventilator. So it's not like he was on the run. He was in the hospital. So why wasn't he identified? And we didn't find out the race of the shooters till later. And I think that's what they were trying to do, is because they have ethnic names that people could have surmised what ethnicity they were. Not that that has a big matter to do, but you can't protect the ethnicity of people charged in violent crime. And you can't protect them until maybe the news media buzz goes away. And that's what seems to have happened here. You had at least five African-American individuals shooting into a crowd, and apparently there was a beef. We still don't know the motive. We don't know what the beef was over. But apparently both the adult shooters shot at each other and hit each other, but they hit multiple people. There are 22 people injured, one dead. So did they fire all 30 shots out of two 15-round magazines? What about the other teenagers that were found with guns? Did they fire? Was this a gangland thing? Did you have multiple shooters? We don't know anything. We don't know the total number of shots. We don't. The police department isn't giving us any information. And particularly if they just gave us the motive and how many people were involved in the shooting, they don't have to divulge the names of the juveniles. They just have to let us know what the fuck happened. so we can prevent it in the future. Sacramento Bee accused January 6th rioter faces new charge in Sacramento of receiving child pornography. The only reason I'm putting this, I'm covering this story is because if you ever go on OnlyFans or look at pornography at all, you don't know if that person is a juvenile. So you don't know if you could be charged with child pornography. So like most people do, if you see all of a sudden you see a hot model doing whatever, and they open their mouth, they have braces, or they look too young, switch it off. Particularly, don't download anything, or even bookmark the link, because you could be charged with child pornography. So I'm not defending this guy. I'm just saying that he was a January 6th rioter, so they're obviously trying to smear everybody on January 6th who was arrested. Associated Press, French mayors face violence and intimidation from xenophobic far-right groups. In France, like elsewhere in Europe, national identity has become a war cry for far-right political groups. This is the problem, is why are you far-right if they promote the idea that foreigners are stealing the riches of nation through state handouts, that they would ultimately upend France's traditional way of life? And of course, the way AP writes this, it's just like anybody else who says, why are we letting in, particularly in the United States, all these illegal immigrants who indeed are weighing down the economic system because they don't have a skill, they don't have a sponsor, they don't have a job, and they can't work because they're here illegally. So of course they have to be cared for, and that's going to fall on the state. So economically, it's a stupid decision. Not only that, if they're allowed to work, then they're going to undermine the lowest wage employees and the ability for low wage employees to find work because you have new unskilled workers coming in. It has nothing to do really with national identity. The problem with Europe is the immigrants carve out ghettos that are no-go zones that they only allow their ethnic group to go into. They don't learn the language, they don't assimilate, etc. So there's a problem in Europe, and it's maybe AP should go investigate a little more and find out why there's a problem in Europe. And just recently in France, was it in France or Belgium? I forget which country it was, but a bunch of Eritreans, immigrants from Africa, rioted and burned up a bunch of cars and stuff. So it's not like they don't have problems. And as Trump said, in the United States, they have a new category of crime called migrant crime. And lastly, New York Post is reporting Elon Musk nominated for Nobel Peace Prize for being stout proponent for free speech. So I hope he wins. I think that he should win the Nobel Peace Prize, but of course he won't, because he's aiding the far right and anti-Semitic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. You know, probably Joe Biden or maybe Zelensky will win the peace prize. Maybe Vladimir Putin should win the peace prize. It'll be Joe Biden. Or maybe, I was going to say Valerie Plame, maybe, what's her face? Speaking of other headlines, speaking of Ukraine, New York Times, hundreds of Ukrainian troops feared captured or missing in chaotic retreat. The fall of Avdiivka to Russia may be more significant than initially seemed as Ukraine struggles with morale and recruitment. Who is the person I was thinking about? Oh, I can't think this morning. I'm trying to cut down on my caffeine and it's not having a good effect on my recall. Why do you keep Victoria Nuland? I don't know why I was thinking Valerie Plame. Victoria Nuland. Maybe she should be nominated for the Peace Prize. I don't know. Maybe. All right, trying to get the hang of this live stream. Thanks for sticking with me. Don't forget to engage your channel, like, subscribe. Leave a comment, share the podcast, and join me. Oh, tomorrow, I will not be putting up an episode tomorrow. I got some real work to do. It's like a full day deal on my regular trade craft. So I won't be putting up an episode tomorrow, but I will be back on Friday. So stay tuned. And I will see y'all tomorrow.
You can't handle the truth.
This is a conspiracy.
The New World Order.
Google me, bitch! Google me!
Rudy's revelation.